Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love and goodness. Thank you that you took us on, that you called us to yourself, and we are yours. Lord, help us this morning to know how we should please you and honor you as your people, a people belonging to God. Open our eyes into your word, and may we sense what you are leading us to do to reshape lives that honor Jesus. We ask it for his glory. Amen. Well, it was an important day. I had a job interview in Ipswich in the UK. I rose early, put on my suit and tie, had my breakfast and my quiet time, grabbed my resume and the car keys, and I was out the door. It was about an hour and a half's drive from where I was living, and looked to the tank. I knew it was just a little low, so drove to the local gas station, always very good, and filled up with unleaded. Went into the, to pay. Paid the cashier, went out back onto the forecourt, started the car up, got to the forecourt exit, stalled. Engine completely on an interview day. So what do you do? I think, well, that's unusual. This is a very reliable car. It was a Nissan Primera, never let me down yet. And, I was a bit surprised. And then I looked around the forecourt, another car, and another car, and another car, all dying on the forecourt. We got out, we talked, we realised what had happened. Somebody, unfortunately, had filled the underground, unleaded fuel tanks with diesel. Well, that rather shocked me and sort of blew my program for the day. I had to ring up a Diocesan office to say, look, I'm going to running late. I got a train. The insurance company gave me a car for a month, and all was eventually good. The petrol supplier probably came in the middle of the night, probably 2 a.m. I mean, they work all hours, they work very hard, and he made a simple error. He wasn't thinking straight. Wrong thinking led to a wrong action, which led to problems for others, especially those with job interviews. As we'll see from Philippians chapter 2, right thinking leads to right actions, which bless others and bring honor to Jesus. And so to my first heading, your mind matters. Your mind matters. The much respected UK Christian author John Stott, now in glory, once wrote an excellent booklet called Your Mind Matters. I've got a copy if you ever want to read it. He comments at one point, self-control is primarily mind control. What we sow in our minds, we reap in our actions. That's why the Bible has so much to say about our thinking, our understanding, and our knowledge of the things of God. They shape our actions. For example, in Psalm 119 and verse 34, the psalmist writes, give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. If I understand, I'll obey. In the New Testament, one of Paul's major prayer points for the Christian churches he wrote to was for their gaining wisdom and understanding in order that they would honor Jesus and proclaim the gospel more clearly. To the church in Ephesus, he wrote, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. To the church at Colossae, he wrote, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and this is the bit, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. our thinking and our knowledge leads to our actions. And this theme of knowing God's ways so that Christian believers can truly honor him is found in this letter to the Philippians, chapter 1. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depths of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Now, this kind of spiritual maturity that Paul is praying for doesn't happen overnight. We know that. It takes time. Some would even say it takes a lifetime. When we become Christians and make a sincere prayer of commitment, whether we've come to Christ cold, as it were, or from a Christian home and family, but we're making Jesus our own, when we become fully Christian, we're 100% God's. We belong to him. We're his, totally. As the famous verse puts it, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17, cracking verse. It's instant, it's immediate. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. Someone else has come into the kingdom. But it's only a start. That's when the true learning begins. When I married my wife, Jo, on January the 13th, 2001, I walked into the church at All Saints Sumner, Christchurch, New Zealand, a single man. 50 minutes later, I came out married. I had the wedding certificate, marriage certificate, to prove it. But then the learning began. I had to learn to be a good husband. I mean, my idea of being kind and thoughtful was when she said, gosh, I'm exhausted, all that housework this morning. Well, why don't you go and do some gardening? I quickly learned that probably wasn't such a helpful comment. I had to learn to put her before myself. I'd had 41 years as a bachelor. That was hard. I had a new status, and so my behavior had to change. When I made big decisions, I had to make them with Joe. We had to talk it through. Had to be a joint decision. I had a new status. I was a married guy. When we become Christians, we have a new status. We need to change and reshape our behavior accordingly. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we need to honor our King. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 what we're not to be like. There's no place for selfish ambition or vain conceit, verse 3. Or looking down on others, or only thinking about oneself, verse 4. But Paul also tells us what we are to be like. We're to be like Jesus. Perhaps we hear that, and we sort of almost like throw up our hands and, gosh, I couldn't do that. You know, he was perfect. He was sinless. Clearly, we'll never be like Jesus in that sense. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, as Romans puts it. Paul encourages us in verse 5 to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, because the way he thought about himself and about others shaped the way he lived. And as Tim Chester points out in his book, The One True Gift, when we become Christians and are united to Christ, we go where he goes. It's like being in a car, you know, and Jesus is at the wheel, and we learn he likes to turn right into obedience. He likes to go left into self-denial. He likes to go straight ahead into humility. Let's look at the supreme example, my second heading, the supreme example. In his excellent commentary on Philippians, Gordon Fee rightly describes these verses as, and I quote, one of the most exalted, most beloved passages of Scripture. And he adds, here is one of Paul's finest hours. I love that. If ever there were verses in Scripture, brothers and sisters, that show us and remind us and challenge us what real Christian living looks like, then Philippians 2, 5 to 8 are the verses to go to. And I believe that all of us should come back to them time and again, reflect and remember. Let me read them. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider an equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The chief hallmarks of Jesus' character expressed here are the ones that are now to reshape our lives: self-denial, humility, and obedience. Firstly, self-denial. Jesus, although in very nature God, the one through whom we and all creation were made, gave up his advantage as reigning Son of God. We're thinking about that in Advent, coming down, being born as a babe in Bethlehem. He gave up his privileges for us rather than grasping onto them for his own benefit. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Jesus took the nature of a servant. In fact, the Greek word is doulos, the word for the household slave. Jesus made himself a slave to all humankind in order to bless us. One commentator puts it like this: no one has ever descended so low because no one has ever come from so high. What's our self-denial look like at the end of 2022? Is it me first or Jesus and others that come first? Those words of Jesus in the Gospels are so challenging, aren't they? If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. That's the call. That's the example. Self-denial. Second, humility. If ever we're tempted towards selfish ambition and vain conceit, we're to remember the example of Jesus. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. I'm sure you recall the occasion on a road trip, and the disciples are chatting among themselves, and James and John get a little moment with Jesus on their own and say, hey, Jesus, look, you know, don't tell the others, but we'd like to sit either side of you in the kingdom of heaven. You know, how about it? Would that be all right? You know, the others get wind of this, you know, conspiracy, and they're outraged. And Jesus says to them, and you'll know these words well, speaking of himself, he responds, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm the Son of God, friends, and I'm a servant. You shouldn't be self-serving, should you? His humility was in stark contrast to their pride and ambition. for us, the humbling truth is, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to his cross we cling. The example of Jesus' humility and sacrifice should provoke within us a true humility of the heart. No service for him should be beneath us. No person should be beyond our love, care, and concern. Humility. And then third, on this example of Jesus, obedience. Verse 8, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. If Jesus was willing to obey his Father's will to such a degree, remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but yours be done. If he was willing to obey his Father's will to such a degree, in order that we could be saved, forgiven, restored in a friendship with a holy and wonderful Creator God, how could we not obey God's will in return? As we do so, we're to live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus, lives that are selfless and humble, lives that display a unity of love and purpose in our service of Christ. Can you and I obey that call? And so to my third and final heading, Project Reshape. Project Reshape. How can we apply the teaching of Philippians 2 to the reshaping of our own lives? How can we adopt the mindset of Christ and, as Paul himself puts it in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Now, I'm sure we're all doing our very best to follow Jesus and honor him in our lives. I mean, you know, I know what you're like here at St. Alfred's, but I guess all of us would say, look, there's no room for complacency. I'm a fallen human being, and I need to look in the mirror sometimes and say, could do better. So I've got questions and I've got suggestions. First, the questions to ask ourselves. What are we reading? What are we filling our minds with as we read the books, the magazines, and so on? What are we watching? TV, films, online. Where do our thoughts go during the day? Who or what is influencing us? This is a big deal in our age. You know, you can follow people on Twitter. You can be a very well-paid influencer, inverted commas. Who's influencing us? What is influencing us? Do we go by the values of others or by the values of Jesus and God's word? The Jesus who was born into our world that first Christmas to be our Savior. It's good to ask ourselves these questions, isn't it? To ask ourselves what exactly we're feeding our minds with, because that will undoubtedly impact our behavior and our walk with the Lord. So there's questions and now some suggestions. These are practical steps so that our lives can better reflect our allegiance to Jesus and help us have the mind of Christ even more. The suggestions are a more structured time in God's word and in prayer, perhaps using Bible notes for the first time in booklet form or on an app. Maybe something to try in 2023. Or taking time to read a recommended Christian book, perhaps one of the 10 nominated for the 2022 Australian Christian Book of the Year Award. Why not ask for one for Christmas? Those long car trips, maybe you're visiting family interstate, you're going on holiday in the new year, whatever it is. In England, just to go a long journey, you don't have to go far. In Australia, you really have to travel. Why not? I mean, we all like our favorite music and our favorite radio programs. Of course we do. But why not mix it up What about listening to a podcast, a good one? A Bible teacher you maybe really respect, Tim Keller and others, they do these excellent podcasts. Using David Suchet's spoken Bible, that's a wonderful thing. Or listening to a favorite worship CD or download. Just think about what you're listening to in the car. You've got all that time. Why not invest in your mind? Joining a growth group next year as a way of deepening your understanding of God's word and his will for your life. Growing in Jesus together with others. And finally, thinking about what you give to as part of your Christian giving. For example, you might like to help others reshape their lives through growing in their knowledge and understanding. As part of your giving, you may wish to support the distribution of Bibles and Christian literature to nations and people who need them. Support Bible translating work. Support the appointment of Christian teachers and Bible teachers to schools and colleges abroad and in the Northern Territory. Yes, the Holy Spirit has a way of reshaping our lives in all kinds of ways, including how we use our money. I believe, don't you, it's exciting for us to be on this journey with Jesus. He changes us. He challenges us. He encourages us. He leads us to follow him into the costly areas of self-denial, humility, and obedience. We go down as Christ went down. But then, as people united with him, we are raised up with him. It's a very strange truth, isn't it? That God's way up is down. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Humility leads to glory. Verse 9 of Philippians 2, therefore, after the self-denial, humility, obedience unto death on the cross for us, God exalted Jesus to the highest place. So let me end with these words of Tim Chester. Jesus has already been exalted, vindicated, and glorified in heaven. One day, he'll be exalted, vindicated, and glorified on earth. And Christ will share that glory with those who are united to him. What a day that will be. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we so want to be the people that you want us to be. By your Holy Spirit, would you more and more give us the mind of Christ? May we feed our minds with wholesome things, things that are a blessing to us and to others and are honoring to you. Help us to gain more understanding of your ways and your will through your word and spirit. Lord, bless us. May we be willing to be people of self-denial, humility, and obedience, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.